Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Chief Judge Lynn Jones of Washoe County joins us for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers. As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's development company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. Tollsdevelopment.com.
Save money and take transit. Did you know you can ride the bus all day for less than what it would cost you for a gallon of gas? Plan your trip now by going to rtcwashoe.com.
Hit the open road with a truckload of cash free play in one of three luxury travel trailers during the $250,000 travel time giveaways. Thousands in weekly giveaways plus $7,500 in grand prizes guaranteed. And a new travel trailer or $35,000. Now at the Carson Valley Inn.
Welcome to the Winnemucca Big R.
Hi, I'm John Walker. Welcome to Big R Lovelock.
Hi, I'm Rich Martin. Welcome to Fallon Big R.
My name is Braden. Welcome to Big R Fernley.
Hi, I'm Kelly. Welcome to Big R Sparks.
Story County is leading Nevada. Home of the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, Google, Tesla, Panasonic, and other world-leading companies. Story County provides thousands of tech, advanced manufacturing, and logistics careers for Nevadans. We're diversifying and driving Nevada's economy and generating millions in tax revenue and billions in economic activity across northern Nevada. Story County is leading Nevada's future.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome to the program the Honorable Chief Judge Lynn Jones of Washoe County. Pleasure to have you on the program.
Pleasure to be here.
Let's start out with the most basic thing. What kind of crimes are the largest amount of crimes you see coming through your courtrooms?
So in the district court, we do gross misdemeanors and felonies. And currently, a lot of drug trafficking, child sexual assault, and we have a rash of murders going through right now. And we are trying cases like crazy. We had a record number of cases we tried last year. In fact, our district, with about a quarter of the judges, tried double the number of cases at the district court level than Clark County did.
Wow.
We're a high-volume court.
So is that percentage-wise or literal?
Literally.
Wow. And what is your staffing for judges versus Clark County's?
Clark County has probably four times the number of judges. Staffing's relatively the same as far as judicial assistants, law clerks, bailiffs. They have separate marshals. We have Washoe County Sheriff deputies, which we're very blessed to have them to be our security because they're law enforcement trained. They protect our citizens. They protect us. It's just as we're stacked so deep with cases. So we tried over 100 cases with 9 judges, and they tried 50.
All right, so let me ask you this. Is it Washoe County that provides the funding for the court system, or is it the state?
Washoe County does. The judges are paid by the state. So we're state employees, but all of our staff, and hopefully a new building soon, is funded by the county.
Okay, so you said hopefully, so that is in process to be able to expand the system.
So we've been asking and desperately in need of a new courthouse. It's literally falling down around our ears for some time. And this year, the county, which we're very grateful for, put a new courthouse as one of their top three capital improvements. So we're right in the process right now.
Okay, and will you be approaching the state as well for additional funding? Because you've got the legislative session coming up.
The state provided, they may not provide for the courthouse. Certainly, if there's funds available, we will seek them. We were excited that the last legislative session we got a COLA increase. The judges hadn't been paid, hadn't received a raise since 2008. And we just asked to be treated like state employees. And so we have a COLA coming up, but it doesn't happen until 2027. So that piece of it is related to the judges' salaries. Now, related to funds available for the courthouse, our legislative team will be looking for anything and everywhere. Possibly federal funding. The federal funding comes with a lot of reporting mandates. So with all of the work we do, not only in our court is criminal, civil, probate, we have the family division that does all family law, juvenile delinquency, child dependency. And with all of these different courts, currently we're in two different buildings. We'd like to be housed in one area. We'd like to have better security. I ride the same elevator that the defendants that I sentence do. But I don't feel necessarily unsafe because they're deputies there. What I worry about is the people that come, if someone was to come in the door, it would be the people, the citizens, it would be the jurors, it would be the public that could get hurt. And that's why we need a better designed building that has appropriate safety protocols and protections for our community.
And, you know, we have it's been a while now, but obviously the Chuck Weller incident.
Yes.
Where he was shot.
Yes.
Actually at the courthouse. Let me ask you, you brought up murders. Are we seeing a dramatic increase in murders in Washoe County?
There are.
Really?
Yes. And some of them are, I think, there was a bit of a backlog coming over through COVID and coming. They have to be bound over from the justice court to our court. But on one calendar that I had last week, I arraigned two people on murder charges. And that's unusual on one calendar to do that. We are trying. We've had Judge Steinheimer just did the Verdi murder. And it's become more commonplace. I think some are drug related and some are domestic violence related. And, you know, some of them we hear about, some of them we don't. The public doesn't, but we do.
Oh, yeah, to say the least. You mentioned child assaults.
Yes.
That's obviously a horrible topic to begin with. What is the situation there, and does that come into the heading of COVID related as well? Because people were so stuck together.
So I think you bring up a really good point and observation, because there is a lot of discussion of that's why we're getting cases more and more. And there'll be multiple counts. And the children, you know, range from 5 to already past 18, but they can still file the report. And it's more common on our dockets than I think any of us would like. But then you center on the state and the defendant are entitled to a fair trial. They're entitled, but the penalty for child sexual assault is so great that that's why a lot more are going to trial. And because if it's 35 to life or it's 10 to life for a lewdness, they'll go to trial and see if they can tell their story if they wish to. They don't have to testify. We're also seeing a lot more defendants testify, which is really interesting. And maybe they will get some not guilty on some of the counts.
Is there an area of causality that you can see that ties these things together in a way? Or is it just, well, just, you know, effects of society in one way or another that you can say, okay, well, the reason we're seeing this increase in sexual assault cases on children is because, rather than they're all different reasons?
So I think you hit on COVID was one. I think the other is they're just being reported more. And so I think that is a big part of it, that particularly women are reporting it, even if they're over 18. And we have a myriad of cases. I can't talk specific.
Of course.
But I do have a case of somebody who's over 18 and finally decided to say she was safe and could come forward.
It's amazing that this is going on in our society. But that's the reality of what you deal with.
Yes.
You know, when you became a judge, were you prepared for what you are now dealing with on a daily basis?
You know, I was primarily civil, and I did a lot right. of probate and trust cases and litigation. But I'd been a law clerk, and at the time, funny, we were also the bailiffs. And I watched, you know, over 1,800 criminal proceedings. But no. And I think the part of it that is you have to grow with, because there's going to be another case that's worse. And so, you know, and you have to brush it off when you leave the courthouse and remember your humanity. And I have a little saying on my bench that, like, just because one person lacks humanity doesn't mean there isn't humanity. I think that it's tough to see what people are capable of doing as far as criminality. But the other part of it that is amazing is the victims and resiliency. And so, and I am such a deep believer in the jury system. And we are calling and calling and calling upon our community to come and serve as jurors. And it's, our jury commissioner is amazing how many people she's fielding. And, you know, the system works. I think that people hear stories of the $7 million McDonald's, you know, coffee spill.
Right.
But I have to tell you, they're thoughtful. They give deep consideration to the evidence. And it works.
Well, that's wonderful to hear. And wonderful that you're not dragging people in to be able to be jurors, because they are still showing up when they're supposed to. The other area that you mentioned was drugs. What is the predominant form of drugs offenses that you're dealing with?
Currently, we still have a lot of methamphetamine. You know, there's a lot of fentanyl. What I think is shocking, both about even sex trafficking and drugs, is when you've lived in this community your whole life and then all of a sudden you hear, oh, it's at this hotel casino, and I'm thinking, I was just there the other night for an event. It's all around us, and so there's two types. There's the trafficking element, the ones that are distributing, and then there's the persons that are users and have substance use addictions. And if they're on a possession charge, sometimes they can go into our specialty courts, which are phenomenal. We have 7 specialty courts, young offender, which I sit on, which are 18 to 27 year olds. We have a DUI court, a veterans court, adult drug court, medication assisted court. And so that piece of it is more the substance use and not the selling. And our legislature really guided us to give opportunities to people. And so I'll give you an example in my young offender court. I meet with them every week. You know, it's by Zoom, but I'm in my robe and I talk to them. We have this staff that checks in with them. They have to be testing. They end up having to pay their fees. When the right time comes, we assist them. We partner with Join to get them employment. And then through the specialty courts, they receive intensive counseling. And each specialty court has a different provider. And so, for instance, they have to go to 2 groups and 1 individual session. And that's how we're trying to break the cycle. And it is one of the most moving moments when you get somebody to graduate from one of our specialty courts. Because, and I think that calls upon us as judges too, is we're trying to help if we can. It's not just all about sentencing people to life in prison without
right.
parole. It's having that ability to evaluate, you know, whether this person should have a chance. And people come before us that have more felonies than before. And sometimes you have to figure out if it's the right time. Sometimes we're wrong, and they come back, and they get revoked, and they go to prison. But I think that those people that we can successfully even get through our specialty courts, or even just on probation, it saves a lot of money for our taxpayers. And we simply can't put everybody in prison. We can't afford it as right. taxpayers. And it's that creativity going forward with the legislature, but also us, having the energy. We just have an amazing specialty court staff. And their connections that they make with these individuals. And sometimes it's a one-off. It's just somebody in the wrong place at the wrong time. Sometimes it's a person that really has an addiction, and it takes a few setbacks before something finally works. And so we partner with inpatient and transitional living. And our community is so in need of funds for that. And that really is something that the county can do and the state can do. Because ultimately, it saves jail days and prison days.
Okay, so is that more of a mental health issue?
We also have, of course, we have a mental health court. And I think as chief judge, I assign my colleagues to different aspects, whether it's a committee, whether it's a docket. And so I assigned Judge Egan Walker, who has so much energy, and to kind of be all things mental health. So not only is there a mental health court, and that would be post-sentencing, but we are now doing a competency court. And the competency court is every person, it has a constitutional right to be competent before adjudication. So competent to go to trial. It's a little bit different than the mental health court in the standards, but it's been highly successful. And we are giving attention to these people. They were languishing in the jail before going to Lakes Crossing. The sheriff has been proactive and is now doing some treatment in the jail, which is, people think maybe that's not the therapeutic environment, but if you can stabilize individuals if they need medication and you can start that process even before they go to restoration, the restoration takes a shorter time and there'll be more beds available.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back with more with the Honorable Chief Judge Lynn Jones of Washoe County after this time out.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you. But we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Story County is leading Nevada. Home of the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Google, Tesla, Panasonic, and other world-leading companies. Story County provides thousands of tech, advanced manufacturing, and logistics careers for Nevadans. We're diversifying and driving Nevada's economy and generating millions in tax revenue and billions in economic activity across northern Nevada. Story County is leading Nevada's future.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with the Honorable Chief Judge Lynn Jones of Washoe County. You were talking about you know, helping people through these specialty courts, one of my questions would be, you know, what are we doing with people that we put in prison, and then at the end of their sentence, we basically do nothing to help them at that point get back into society? What do you see as the need at the other end of this?
So, of course, that's not within the purview of our court, except for except for one program that I should share with you. It's prison reentry. And we partner with the prison system. Technically, the individuals that qualify for it are still incarcerated, but they aren't. And they report to my colleague, Judge Steinheimer, and she has her court once a week and checks in with them. They test. They have to be in a safe environment, and whether that's a treatment environment or transitional living. And it's exactly the need that you've identified that helps restore them and be prepared for our community, because it's very easy to fall back into a life of criminality.
Well, also, prison for long-term prisoners is their home. They are comfortable, correct, in that
yes.
environment.
And I think that sometimes we hear that phrase, institutionalized, and I think that programming that the prisons can do helps us, because if they come back to us and we have habitual criminality statutes, if you have 7 felonies, then you can, it's an expanded sentencing range. And I don't know that that's necessarily right for all people. Sometimes it takes people 3 or 4 felonies until they're really ready to be a success story, or what we refer to, or I think our community refers to, as productive members of society. There are people, and a lot of times it's those persons that have come up through the juvenile system, whose parents have been incarcerated, who have, since they're 8 years old, doing meth with their dad on their birthday. And those are heartbreaking. You know, when we do a sentencing, we have what's called a pre-sentence investigation report, and the Division of Parole and Probation prepares. We know everything about this person, aliases, mental health history, family history, and that's where, you know, that's why, particularly like in my court, the Young Offender Court, aside from all my other cases, if we can do some early intervention, we might be able to break that cycle. But then there are people that you see and you're thinking, their life has been this. You know, I've sentenced a dad and a son to prison on the same day.
Let's take another break. We'll be right back after this.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
The Nevada Builders Alliance has been protecting the interests of the construction industry for over 50 years. Our programs save members thousands of dollars every year and allow them to provide much-needed benefits to their employees. Our industry also allows Nevada to grow. If you're thinking about a career in the construction industry, reach out. And if you haven't thought of a career in construction, what are you waiting for? We are the Nevada Builders Alliance.
Hit the open road with a truckload of cash free play in one of 3 luxury travel trailers during the $250,000 travel time giveaways. Thousands in weekly giveaways plus $7,500 in grand prizes guaranteed. And a new travel trailer or $35,000. Now at the Carson Valley Inn.
Here on 7 at 7, we're bringing you the local headlines in just 7 minutes.
We've got you covered in the morning, evening, and for all breaking news in between and as it happens.
Life is busy, and we don't waste your time. Join us for local news now streaming on our YouTube page.
Welcome to the Winnemucca Big R.
Hi, I'm John Walker. Welcome to Big R Lovelock.
Hi, I'm Rich Martin. Welcome to Fallon Big R.
My name is Braden. Welcome to Big R Fernley.
Hi, I'm Kelly. Welcome to Big R Sparks.
We'll be right back.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with the Honorable Chief Judge Lynn Jones of Washoe County. You know, you go into any store, you know, Walmart, Target, Big R, one of my clients, and half the stuff is locked up these days because of retail crime. Do you think the legislature potentially went too far in raising limits on, you know, what somebody could be, you know, taken to court over in terms of retail crime, and that needs to be reversed, or are you okay with the way it is?
Well, I think in our court, of course, we see the higher levels. But there's a certain brilliance or smarts in and calculation of criminal defendants. Most often, it's opportunity crime in order to have something to sell, trade, pawn.
Not gang-related.
And I think there's a bit of that, probably. But most of all, it's to buy substances and to just have quick money.
So, because we're almost out of time, so is this something you'd like the legislature to reevaluate? Or are you comfortable with where things are?
I'm comfortable with where they are now, but I think it should be... I think it should be often looked at, because also things change, prices change, the way people go about it. We're having creative crimes right now, including jury scams right now, that I think it's important for the legislature to reevaluate, but also to call upon the judges to come back down and testify, and other stakeholders, the DA, the PD, the APD. I think that we have to evaluate the nature of the crimes, what makes the most sense for the courts to be hearing, and how do you stop it? I was shocked this weekend. I went into a store and I couldn't believe how much was locked up.
Right. And unfortunately, speaking of locked up, we have to lock up the show here. But you're welcome back.
It's been a pleasure.
Yes, please come back.
I would love to.
We appreciate it. And we'll be right back.
It's a good time to eat. It's a good time to play.
It's a good time to win.
Ooh, your good times are train wreck.
Imagine a magical garden that feeds Carson City's hungry and homeless, teaches our high school students agriculture, creates hanging floral displays to beautify downtown, and yet charges nothing. It's not magic. It's the Greenhouse Project. It's real, it's growing, and it needs your help. Go online to carsoncitygreenhouse.org so together we can grow it forward.
Calamity. It lurks around every corner.
Or not. That's why UMC Quick Care is around every corner, with locations around the valley.
UMC Quick Care, for all your small calamity.
Thanks for watching Nevada Newsmakers. You can catch us online 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com, or you can download the podcast wherever you like to get your podcast. We'll see you on the next broadcast.